And welcome to another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast, where we bring together tech leaders from all across the globe to share their time, their insights, and their expertise on exactly what they're doing to grow their businesses so that they can help us grow our businesses as well. My name is Gary Lafferty, and I'm the founder and creator of Authority Accelerators, where we take experts in the tech field and accelerate them to the authority status so that they can start choosing their clients as opposed to the ones being chosen by them. Now, this episode, I'm extremely looking forward to our guest, Heather, because she's going to be sharing something which I had never heard of before, but it is such an important factor as we move forward. So I'm not going to do it justice by explaining it. I want to get Heather to explain it all to us. So Heather, without further ado, welcome to our podcast today. Thank you very much for your time. Why don't you start off by just giving us a brief introduction of who you are and what is it you do?
Well, thanks, Gary. I am honored to be here today. My name is Heather Neff. I am the co-founder and CEO of a company called Equivalent. And we are an accessible graphics startup doing software as a service.
Right. So that's the interesting part. So obviously, Equivalent, you're tackling a huge issue that people may or may not be aware of. Can you give us kind of like a 30,000 foot view on what Equivalent does and why is this problem that you're solving so urgent?
Well, it's actually something that is a story that started a long time ago as a graphics person, that I was an artist and graphics expert. And then I became disabled and I realized that the internet is full of inaccessible imagery and also very large imagery, which happens to suck up a lot of energy and bandwidth. So the problem that we're trying to tackle is images. Images, trillions of images online are completely inaccessible to people with disabilities, and they happen to be legacy formats that really bog down the entire system and drain unbelievable amounts of energy. And with the new generative AI, it is somewhere around 34 million new images are created daily just by generative AI. So we have an unprecedented amount of digital content being created every day, and none of it is inherently accessible. So that's something that we're trying to tackle. And also, big lofty goal is to make the internet fully inclusive and completely sustainable by really tackling this issue.
Well, I love the big audacious go there, the goal that you have there. And I have no doubt, having spoken to you before, that you are going to be achieving that. So you've taken this really sort of innovative approach to creating AI-powered, compliant, and responsive graphics. How have you positioned your company to stand out in a marketplace, especially when there are so many other companies who claim to offer accessibility solutions?
Most of the companies that are out there focus on post, fixing and moderation of what's out there. They try to fix what you've produced. We're actually trying to tackle the problem from the very beginning so that we are inherently accessible, which is just a completely different approach. And right now, we think this is, going in the right direction to really try to integrate directly into design software itself and also attach to any image library. Mm-hmm. To convert older images, what we're actually doing is turning it all into code. And that's when it becomes really interesting that we're able to convert that code into streamlined, accessible code. So it's a kind of a complicated
story. Wow.
It's very technical.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you've obviously got something which is, on the face of it, something relatively brand new, but it's been such a needed product, such a needed thing for such a long time. How are you managing to make sure your message is heard over and above the noise that may or certainly does not seem to be as powerful as yours and what you're offering? How do you manage to stand out there so that people can actually recognize you as being one of the foremost leaders in this field?
Well, we are a startup, so I'm trying to gain, awareness and traction. We have a partnership with Atos, which has been an amazing exposure as they're a $13 billion industry giant for many different things, but they focus on digital decarbonization. And I was on a podcast with one of their global head of accessibility. And when he saw what we were doing, he became a huge advocate and wound up working with us and hiring us to do some custom, what we call smart SVGs or smart graphics. We've actually invented some patent pending IP, which dramatically enhances the perception of these graphics, by picking up the color that the user has chosen for their computer, which has never been done before. So we actually have some IP that stands us out from the crowd and some relationships with some fairly large partnerships that are exposing us to the world, saying, hey, listen, we got something here that is really different, and really advanced stuff where these images are so advanced and they're engineered to be code, like almost like a web page, actually very similar to a web page, where you can have live selectable indexable text. It's all SEO friendly and indexable, but you can navigate around inside the image with a keyboard, and it has a lot of advantages in the low vision and blind communities because of those features.
Gotcha. So trying to get your message out is probably one of those really hard things for most entrepreneurs. There'll be people listening to this episode who have similar new things, new offerings to the marketplace in whatever niche that they're actually in. How have you gone about educating your market as to what they need? Because people don't know what they don't know. If they don't know it's out there, the solution's out there, they may know there's a problem, but they don't know there's a solution. How are you getting that message out there to educate them as to your, you know, come and see what we have, because what we have is really, really valuable?
Well, I've been part of Techstars, which is a really great place to be as a startup. And then I went through a Together International Accelerator program. And right now I'm a fellow in the Zero Project Fellowship, which is a world stage where about a month from now, I'll be on at a conference in front of thousands of people at the United Nations in Vienna, talking about this and going on as many podcasts and trying to do as much marketing as possible. But we were in stealth mode about, 2 weeks ago. So we've been really under the radar building something with AI that's actually quite advanced. And we didn't want to give our competitors information about what we've been building, because it's been so exciting to really bring something together that's going to be massive. It's going to be huge. We're going to be able to hook up to any library, and it's going to be something that converts all of your images. It doesn't matter if it's pixel based or vector based, which gets into the technology, but any image can be converted into code now using AI. And once it's code, we can then do a lot of things to it to make it lightning fast, like under 5 kilobytes, and we can make it mobile responsive, so it rearranges itself on mobile. We actually have the ability to respond to dark mode and all of your personalized preferences. So these smart graphics are actually the first graphic that responds to you and your preferences and your settings, which is really exciting.
Yeah. I just can tell in the passion that comes out of you, Heather, that, you know, that you're just going to take the world by storm. There's so much energy that's coming out of here. So that being said, like you mentioned before, you've been in stealth mode now for, whilst you've been working on this. What lessons have you learned in that process that you feel other founders should know? So when you're in the deep, when you're doing that deep work, you know, what lessons do you think you've learned from that you could share with founders who are either still doing the deep work and don't know when to come out and when to take it to market, or, you know, just things they need to look out for?
Some advice to other people trying to figure out when to go to market. I'm being kind of brought out because of this event next month. I had to start really starting to expose what we're up to, which was it just the circumstances. I feel like it's time to start talking about it, but I took about 4 months to really gather that information and make sure that we had something that was going to work with our partners and really talk to our clients and people that, you know, users that are using our MVP. I think once you have a major shift or a pivot like that, you also have to just check the market and make sure you're going to have good product market fit. I mean, it's just kind of judging that and knowing when to go out of it to make a big splash. And so I'm preparing right now to announce this kind of next month. And this podcast is kind of, you know, also pushing me to come out, because I really want to get this message out there that we have this new AI powered transformation engine. And that's something that's really exciting. So here I am talking about it.
Yeah, and I think the key thing there is talking about it, because there's a lot of founders, especially in tech, that are not necessarily that forward in putting themselves into the spotlight. Like you said before, it's kind of forcing you to do this now. So, and you're going out there and you're presenting. What are your thoughts then on going out there and getting on podcasts so that you can get this message out, getting on stages, getting to these events, and literally all eyes on you? What insights have you got from that so far, and how is it making you feel, and what mindset shifts have you had to make in order to for you to deal with that?
Well, it all comes down to having lost my ability to design, having attained enough disabilities, and I lost my use of my right arm to chronic pain and some vision issues. So I became a disabled founder, and that changed my whole world because I was no longer able to do what I used to do as a career. So I was forced to figure out, how can I make a living? And part of that was, well, I can still talk. And I had already been teaching at the university level, which naturally had me on stage. I was doing a lot of conferences. I was already, you know, teaching and being asked to speak at, you know, different, like, you know, different events. And I naturally wanted to and accelerate that career. I applied for a TEDx talk myself, just because I feel like what I've stumbled into over the last 2 years is so big and such a huge problem that people don't know. Like, seeing some of the video work, you'll see what happens when people actually try to use some accessibility settings. It actually makes the situation so much worse for a low vision user. And people don't know how people that are blind surf the internet. And I didn't know that. And I'm very aware that I have been designing for my career for over 20 years for people able bodied, but I had never thought about people with disabilities until I became someone with a disability. And that changed everything for me. And so I became a huge advocate. And now it's my duty to spread that this technology exists. And it's my one thing that I have left before I die is to announce to the world and make sure we get this message that this new technology exists, and that the IP that we developed, my husband developed, is so special and so unique that it is a game changer for the low vision community. We need to make sure that everyone knows it. And so it's not by choice to really be a fan of always being on the camera or up on stage. It's more out of necessity that this message is so necessary and so powerful that it has to get out there.
I'm absolutely in love with what you just said there, you know, because once you feel this absolute drive for what you have to get that out to the world, it's almost validating that what you have is valuable. Because once you, if you just need them to understand what you have, and almost like going sowing as many of those seeds as possible. For tech founders who are listening, Heather, from what you've learned, even in this short space of time of coming out from under the covers, as it were, what is one actionable step that you think, or you could share, that they can take away today so that they can start being seen as an authority from the get-go, as opposed to what you're doing is great. You're walking out there and you're saying, look, you're not putting your product first. You're putting you and your product hand in hand, and you're almost becoming this ambassador for the product. Yeah. You're ambassador for what it is and saying, look, you need to know about this. What piece of advice would you give to people listening for them to start doing something like this from the get-go?
It's harder for me to say from the get-go, because I know a lot of younger entrepreneurs haven't had a 25-year career doing what their industry, you know, like what their company is all about. I happen to be 50, so I happen to be in this for a very long time doing graphic stuff. So I was an expert in that field before I accidentally stumbled into becoming a startup. I actually didn't start off to become a startup. It was something where I just was rebranding my branding and graphic design firm that I was running. And it just snowballed into this whole thing where I found myself as a startup. And that was by accident. But one of the things I had been working on is a book, so that I could also share and have an authoritative book to be a published author was another way that I was going to. And that's been put on hold for a couple of years because of this. But that was another thing that someone who is an entrepreneur could do, is establish themselves as an expert in the field by publishing papers, doing research, getting grants, doing all the things that you could possibly do to say, hey, I'm really educated in this problem and in this field, and I'm an expert in all of these issues. Because also, if you have a lived experience, right? Like, I come from a situation where I have a rare eye disease that causes sensitivity to light. So I have to use dark mode. I have a personal passion behind it. So if you can find an alignment with your own company with something that resonates with you and your experiences, that's the best place to start, to be an expert or to be, you know, be heard and be seen as someone who is an authoritative voice in their field.
Yeah, I think that's a great piece of advice there. And as I said, if you're taking some personal challenge that you have and putting that out forward and getting people to feel for that, that's such a powerful way of getting that message out. Now, I'm going to move over to partnerships in a minute. But before I do, just listening to that last sector, that last piece that you just shared with us, you know, as you know, and as people who have listened for us for a while now understand that those are part of the five P's that we have, you know, doing podcasts, which is what you're doing, presenting on stage, which is what you're doing, become a published author through White Papers, which is what you're doing in the process of doing so, and doing partnerships. So at the five P's, you're already on the tipping all of those of the four to grow yourself as an authority. When it comes to partnerships, though, as you said, you've already had secure partnerships with major enterprises at Atos. What is the key to getting big players on board? I mean, you didn't start small. You just went straight in there and hit the ball out of the park with the biggest partner. So what are the key things to getting big players on with you?
Well, I think a lot of luck was involved on that one, but I did do a lot of research. I was reading and researching who I wanted to work with and finding the places that I wanted to show up in the field that I wanted to be in. And I became part of that community. I got on, you know, back in the day when I believed in Twitter, I was on Twitter connecting with that accessibility community 5, 6, 10 years ago and building those relationships, meeting with tons of people. I think my secret is networking. I would reach out to everyone. I would speak to as many people as I could. I would make these meetings. I would share we made sure we had a really great tech demo. If you want to see it, go to our website, equivalentsvg.io. And right now, having that cool tech demo, because it's a visual thing, of the graphics, having hired an animator and someone who's really good at creating a video, that has been a huge win for us, just to have something that was a minute long that really showed the technology and the wow factor of what we're doing. And that was because I have, 20 years of marketing experience. I kind of knew what I was doing to get a little bit of exposure by producing something right from the beginning to make sure that they could see and hear what we do in a video. And that would be my advice, is to get something that really, that demo, put some money and time and effort into that. We spent probably 6 months making some explainer videos and really working on our brand. I mean, I'm a branding expert as well, so that doesn't hurt, but it's one of those things where, my passive marketing, branding, graphics person was really instrumental in our success to get that first client that was in the billions. Yeah.
I think just showing you, and I'm going to pick a word that you said there, because I want to sort of dial back so people really see the power in what you just shared in there, is sharing that wow value. It's not just another demo for demo's sake of demoing the functionality of something. If you're going to show something, make sure that it wows them. Make sure that they can see and go, wow, this is something I want to know more about, as opposed to, oh, this is just what it does. There's a big difference in those two when it comes to the demonstrations. And you nailed it by saying, yeah, how's it going to nail it? Just in that 60 seconds, you said, right? Just 1 minute.
Yep. The other thing is, I never intended to become a startup or, to do this, but having a really original idea that is that big, it kind of evolved as well. And to remember that pivoting constantly is part of the startup world. And as an entrepreneur, you have to kind of make sure that you just roll those punches. We've been doing this for 4 years, but it's still, pre-revenue at this point. And we're about to, launch an enterprise API. I would never have guessed I would have been here 3 years ago saying that I have an enterprise API coming out with enterprise clients waiting for it. It's extremely exciting, but it's also very difficult and challenging. And just to remember that you have to just keep going and not give up. If you really believe in what you're doing and you have something that you know is really special, you just have to give it everything you've got, spend every dollar you have, and put your entire life into this to make sure that it happens. And you have to have that never-ending passion. And that's one thing that an entrepreneur really has to click into and make sure that they're on board for. Because if you don't have that long-haul goal to really believe in it, it could be really difficult to stay in business.
Yeah, absolutely. Having that passion, having that, you're in for the long haul, right? This is, you're not testing it. You're in for the long haul. And so that being said, obviously you've kind of come in right at the right time. You've got laws and regulations. They're tightening every single day. They're tightening around things like accessibility. Where do you see the market heading in the next 3 to 5 years with this?
Well, unfortunately, as of just recently, the government here in the United States has rolled back DEI. But I do think that that's a huge mistake. In fact, that there's such a huge economic reason to not only invest in, you know, disability inclusion, is that they have such market power, something to the effect of $17 trillion worth of buying power that's being left in carts around the world because people are not making their websites and e-commerce sites accessible, let alone all of the lawsuits that are daily. And right now, no matter what the laws say, people are throwing lawsuits at people all the time, because right now, every single website has to be ADA compliant or Americans with Disability Act compliant. Every image has to have an alternative test or a description. There's a bunch of other laws that are kind of extremely difficult. So a lot of people just kind of don't do it. They think it's an afterthought. But the ADA is going to be starting to be enforced in 2026. And coming soon, June 28, 2025, just a few months from now, the European Accessibility Act is going into effect. And that's actually going to have some massive fines. And it's going to kick you out of being able to do business in Europe if you don't pay attention to these laws and actually making sure that your website is going to be 100%. And all of your files and everything you have online has to be this web content accessibility guidelines compliant. So not knowing about it, in fact, if you're doing business, you have to be accessible. Otherwise you're actually quite at risk for a lawsuit, and it's becoming a huge problem for a lot of people. So it's something to pay attention to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I'm listening to you there, and although some of the founders here we'll be thinking, well, hold on a second. I've got to start just focus on what's the needle mover, what brings in the revenue, what's going to save me money here, what's going to drive the revenue. But there are actually three functions of why somebody should do something. It's either going to make me money, save me money, or keep me out of jail. And with what you're saying, you know, that there's some things really coming down the turnpike that people need to be aware of right now, whether that's in Europe alone or in America, or no matter what's going on here in America. But, you know, things are changing regardless, you know, and if they're not staying compliant, or as you say, the ignorance is no excuse, right? Just because you don't know about it and think to put it away, they need to know about this stuff.
Yep. And it's something that, you know, everyone should be paying attention to, wanting to have better user experiences. At the end of the day, what we're offering is amazing user experiences through graphics and making sure that everyone has an equal experience, if not an amazing experience, and having a custom to your preference experience. For example, let's say you're sitting at home and on your couch, and you have your phone, and you're trying to order food or do internet searching, and everything's really, really bright. You're just like, oh, my eyes are fatigued. I'd really like this in dark mode, but they're not offering a dark mode experience. That's an example of a better user experience. If they get to a site that's responding to their dark mode and is giving them a more easier eye experience, they'll stay longer and they'll actually, you know, spend more money and pay attention to that site. There's a lot of statistics of people bouncing if you just don't even have a dark mode. It's something to the effect of 82% of people are asking, for whatever reason, either preference or that it's helpful for their eyesight, they're asking for dark mode. And people don't usually have a dark theme on their website. And that's a huge win right there, to have a better user experience. And that type of thing, better conversion and better numbers. And that's the type of thing that you should be paying attention to. Even if you don't think it's about accessibility, dark mode is actually an accessibility feature for people who are sensitive to light. And that's why it came around. So anyway, it's good for business either way that you look at it.
Yeah, fascinating. It's just fascinating. I could talk to you for ages on stuff like this, because every day is a school day. I absolutely love it. But, you know, given that, you know, for founders, you've brought something like, as I said, truly new to the market. So for founders who are trying to introduce something new to the marketplace, what is one piece of advice you wish you had earlier?
Ooh, that's a good one. Knowing how taxing this would be financially, and being able to bootstrap yourself, you have to be really prepared for that, to know that you might be spending every dollar that you possibly could scrape together, and getting friends and family is challenging, and those relationships. Raising money is really hard to do, especially in this economy, and just knowing how long that takes, to be really prepared financially and to know how long your runways are, and to really pay attention to that stress that does cause, and that can be really difficult to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great piece of advice. So listen, Heather, if our listeners want to learn more about Equivalent or get in touch with you, what's the best way of doing that?
more than welcome to check out our website, but none of the new AI-powered transformation engine stuff is launched yet live. We're still working on a new website. The best way to reach me is probably via email at heather@equivalentsvg.com. And you can also reach out to me via phone. And best place to find me is LinkedIn. I'm always on that. Almost 24/7.
Well, I'll make sure I put the links in the show notes so people can just get hold of you the best way anyway. Well, listen, Heather, thank you very much for your time today. You know, we've covered so much in such a short space of time. You know, I really appreciate you sharing your time and your insights with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It was an honor to be here.
Thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Growth Focus podcast. And if you've taken any insights from Heather today, please make sure that you like and comment so that other people can see what they should be learning as well. But more importantly, share. This is how we grow, by sharing knowledge, taking action on that knowledge. And that's how we grow wherever you are on the entrepreneurial ladder. So until next time, keep striving forward, be profitable, and we'll see you all soon. Bye-bye.